As a young adult, finding the right path to your future can feel overwhelming. It starts with YearUp United's tuition-free job training program, Career Pathways. If you're without a bachelor's degree but have a high school diploma or GED, you can get skills-first training to succeed in the industries you're passionate about, all while earning a weekly educational stipend to offset basic expenses. From there, you'll have access to internships and hands-on experiences with Fortune 500 companies. And with YearUp United's job placement services and personalized coaching and mentorship, you can put your knowledge, skills, and most importantly, confidence into practice. Apply to YearUp United today and take the first step toward achieving the career you want. Visit yearup.org to learn more.
Stitch Fix. Stop shopping. Get styled.
Not today, sweatpants. Somebody's wearing jeans that fit.
Wow! No photos, please. I'm just a regular dad who happens to have a stylist.
I really look my best when someone else makes the decisions.
Hey, we can all see you two-way mirrors.
Just share your size, style, and budget, and your stylist sends personalized looks right to your door. Stitch Fix. Get started today at stitchfix.com.
I want to hug you. I'm going to hug you. I'm coming in for a hug.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
It's just going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Well, you thought two episodes was enough to cover running backs. You don't know fantasy football today. Welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, August 5th, and this is part three of our running backs preview. Some of the greatest hits from last year, round six and beyond, were all round nine or later. All right, the guys have really made a difference. Again, this is what I talked about on a previous show. ADP's kind of out the window at this point here. Round nine, we had Travis Achane last year. But that was a weird circumstance because Tank Bigsby got traded so close to the start of the year. Cam Scadaboo was round 9. Javonte Williams was round 10. Quinshon Judkins, round 11. Rico Dowdle went 189th overall. He ended up being pretty good. Kenneth Gainwell went 323rd overall. He ended up helping people win leagues. All right, welcome to the show. Let's get right into it. We're going ADP review. The first half of this is going to be about running backs. The second half is going to be rankings, risers, and fallers based on some preseason buzz. We start with round 6. Jadarian Price and Jalen Warren. And really, Jadarian Price is the only running back in round 6 right now. So we'll go like rounds 6 and 7, maybe even a little beyond. We got Price, Warren, Pollard, and we'll stay there because the next one is RJ Harvey, and we're not drafting him with Price, Warren, and Pollard. By the way, before this, we had David Montgomery, DeAndre Swift, Bajal Tootin. So, Dave, at this point in the draft with Jadarian Price, Jalen Warren, and Tony Pollard, do they feel kind of like the guys that went before them, Montgomery and Swift and Tootin, or do they feel like a little step down?
Depends on which one you're asking about. I think two of them are a slight step down, and that's the veterans. It's Pollard and it's Warren. And we'll see about Price, but the reports have been good out of Seattle. The highlights have been nice too. This is a rookie who looks like he's going to get some opportunities to be not just the 1A, but the lead back in Seattle's offense. And that's a pretty good spot as long as Zach Charbonnet is on the pup list. We don't know how long that's going to be. That's one of the hurdles that you have to think about when you draft Price, because it's not a guarantee that he's going to be the main guy all season long. Not a guarantee he's necessarily going to be the main guy even in week one. It's just right now he's getting the first reps with the first team in 11-on-11 padded drills. That's a pretty telling sign. It's him doing more in passing drills. You've probably seen the highlights of him catching passes down the sideline. I doubt he's going to do a lot of that in the pros in his first year, but the mere fact that he's doing it kind of shows off some of the things that he can do on top of the athleticism that we already knew about from his days at Notre Dame. And so I feel like if this drumbeat continues, he's going to tick up into that previous group, and he'll be a round 5 pick, and that could be a little rich because we just don't know when Charbonnet is going to come back.
Heath, what does Tony Pollard represent to you as RB28? Does he represent one of the last guys who looks like a clear-cut starting running back for his team?
One of the last guys that we are confident is a clear-cut starting running back.
And we are not that concerned about their injury risk because you do still have Bill left, who may be the clear-cut starter in Washington. You do still have J.K. Dobbins left, who we think is the clear-cut starter, except we don't know how long he's going to stay healthy. I will say, like, this is like right in the middle of the blob for me at running back. And it kind of stretches from Pollard, Jaylen Warren, Ramondre, Travion, Bucky, David Montgomery, Tootin, and even Rico Dowdle are all in that 11 to 12 fantasy point range for me.
Okay. And you did put Jaylen Warren in there. Who do you guys like better, Warren or Dowdle?
I think I'm getting to a point where I'm going to prefer Dowdle. I certainly would rather have Dowdle at his ADP than Warren at his ADP. But there was a report this week in the Tribune Review in Pittsburgh that Dowdle has emerged as the RB1 early in camp. And the worry I had coming into the preseason and this point of the year is that they could end up just rotating drives and be one of those annoying two-headed backfields. And I don't even know if it's going to be that. We might see Rico as the 1A and Jaylen Warren in that Kenneth Gainwell role, which sounds exciting because Gainwell had 5+ targets per game, but it's a different offense and there's more pass catchers there. And I'd be surprised if Warren had that type of target volume.
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
It's Warren just slightly. I do think like that the Dowdle history with Mike McCarthy is a little bit concerning. The Warren history with Aaron Rodgers might cancel that out. They're both high-end RB3s.
And this is PPR, but in half PPR, Heath, are you going Dowdle and non-PPR?
I don't see a big difference. Rico Dowdle has been very similar the last 2 years as a pass catcher to Jaylen Warren.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think the point I've made before is whoever gets that third down role could be a PPR almost must-start like Gainwell was, because last year Gainwell was the third down back.
That's if Aaron Rodgers' recent history without Mike McCarthy in terms of running back targets holds up.
Yeah.
Because
my theory is that it will because he can't move anymore and he's got to get the ball out of his hands so quickly.
My theory is that he has Michael Pittman now also, and he has a head coach who knows how to design plays that get wide receivers open. And so he may have more quick, and for what it's worth, most of the reports that I've seen about Rodgers having success early on have been deep shots to DK Metcalf.
Yeah, I saw
that
too. Yeah,
well. So I think last year's offense was designed to throw it to tight ends and running backs. That's what Arthur Smith does.
That's a good point. And look, I certainly don't expect 73 catches for the third down back and another 40 from the other guy, or 40 for Warren. That's what we had last year. So, all right. That's Jadarian Price, Jaylen Warren, Tony Pollard. Dave, it sounds like Jadarian Price is the guy that could really emerge from that group for you.
Yeah.
And Heath, you want to give a quick word on Price before we move to the next round?
Yeah, I've got Price kind of a little bit lower, I think, than Dave does. If I was picking one guy out of this group that I think is the best pick, it would be Tony Pollard. And I said it on Running Back Preview Part 17 that I thought that Pollard had a lot of similarities to Bucky Irving and Travis Etienne, and they're going 2 to 3 rounds earlier. So I love the value on Pollard.
Okay, moving down the board a little bit, RJ Harvey. Does anybody want RJ Harvey in round 7?
No.
I've got him at the very end of round 7. I usually end up drafting him in round 8 or round 9 because it seems like everybody else just totally hates him. But no, I think round 8's better.
I don't want to say I totally hate him, but I totally hate the role that it looks like he's ticketed to have. The opportunity for him to be the lead back in Denver went out the window when Sean Payton started talking about how good Harvey was as a pass catcher and how they needed to address their run game. And then they did address the run game by bringing back Dobbins on a 2-year deal and drafting Jonah Coleman. And so Harvey for me is like a round 9-10 pick in full PPR. I'm really out on having him on my squad.
The only thing that I hesitate with that, and I think it's not like a lot of people seem to agree with that more than I do, but it's not like they spent anything at all on Jonah Coleman.
Fair.
Dobbins,
right? It's not like Dobbins signed a huge deal.
I mean, there's a lot of running backs that get drafted on day 3 that never do anything at all in the NFL.
It's true. There's also a lot of running backs that drafted on day two, and after a year in the league, their coach is sour on them. Well, or put them in smaller roles.
Just have to look at how useless he was in the 10 games that Dobbins played. He averaged 5 carries and 2.5 catches per game, R.J. Harvey. We kept saying, hang on him. We got lucky. I mean, it's not lucky when J.K. Dobbins gets hurt. It's almost expected. And then after J.K. Dobbins got hurt, R.J. Harvey was the number 14 running back per game, even though he only averaged 3.4 yards per carry. But he got 13.7 carries and 3.1 catches per game. So that's what you need. If Dobbins plays 16 or 17 games, and he's already promised us that he will, is Harvey going to get more than 7.5 touches per game? I would hope so. Otherwise, yes. He's a bust. All right, Heath says yes. Then we have Chuba Hubbard, and we have Ramondre Stevenson, and then we have Rico Dowdle. So we've got, and then we have J.K. Dobbins. So we've got 4 guys: Hubbard, Ramondre, Dowdle, and Dobbins. Does anything separate those 4? Because they're in, I guess, similar situations. Chubbard, Stevenson, Dowdle, Dobbins. Heath?
I pretty strongly prefer Ramondre Stevenson just because, I mean, first off, he's on an elite offense. Second off, we've already seen him hold off Travion Henderson for 1 year. And I think that's probably enough.
I am nervous about him being overrated on draft day, and that's with him being taken in this range. Everybody seems to remember how last year ended for him, and it was amazing. I mean, he was better than Christian McCaffrey. He was almost 27 PPR points per game in his final 3 games, 6 touchdowns, 3.3 targets per game, favorable matchups. Everything kind of fell into place for Ramondre. And then I don't think he was particularly great in the playoffs. He averaged 13 PPR points in the playoff games. He had a touchdown. It was in garbage time in the Super Bowl. Look, weeks 1 through 15 last year, a lot of those games that he was in, 11 of them, he was sharing with Travion. He averaged 9 PPR points per game. I can't lose sight of that. And so I don't mind drafting him as a high-end RB3, but I don't want to draft him thinking, all right, I'm going to be good with 12-plus PPR points per game from him, when he didn't do that for the majority of last year, and he was sharing with Travion for every single game pretty much that he played in those first 11 on his season.
Yeah, I think some of the positives for Ramondre Stevenson, he was the goal line back. So we like the Patriots offense, and he was the goal line back last year. He was just better in everything than Travion Henderson last year. He is probably going to be their pass protector based on early camp reports. And there's also this. I mean, just before he got hurt, he was starting to sort of separate himself from Travion Henderson. They were giving him a lot of work, and then he got hurt, and then it was a split. Like, it started as a split, and then they're like, all right, Ramondre's our guy. Weeks 5 through 7, he played more than 70% of the snaps in all 3 games. He had 13, 18, and 14 carries, and then he got hurt, and it became more even. And then the playoffs came around, and they really favored Ramondre. So those are the pros. The cons, I guess I would say, he was RB22 per game last year, which is much better than his ADP. His ADP is RB31, I think, right now, Ramondre. But, he's extremely efficient last year, especially as a receiver. Never really saw that from him in the past. I would take Dobbins over him. Dobbins is also the goal line back, I would think. Unless they signed Taysom Hill, then I'd change my mind. But I think Dobbins was probably, he wasn't better in full PPR. They're about the same and not in half PPR. I'm going to say it. I'd take Dobbins over Ramondre. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not, especially if you're getting Dobbins around later.
All right. Well, Heath said he'd take Ramondre. Dave would take Dobbins. And
no. Dave, you have Dobbins ahead of Ramondre?
No. Ramondre ranked ahead, but okay. If I'm getting Dobbins around later, I'd rather have Dobbins.
Okay.
Right. He's saying he would take Dobbins ahead of Ramondre. So he is wrong. You need to tell him he's wrong.
Yeah, you should have told me I was wrong.
Adam, you were wrong.
it's close, though. All right, and then we talked about the Steelers guys. All right, let's move down the draft board here. Who's up in rounds 9 and maybe into round 10? Oh, Kyle Manangai, and I think Blake Corum is probably going to be after that. So, is there a difference between the two? Do you have a preference, Heath, Manangai and Corum?
I have Manangai higher currently if we miss another week of camp, that will probably change.
No, he's already back.
I think
Manonge is more likely to have a few more catches.
Okay. I'll just take the running back in the Rams offense. It's the only difference for me.
Do you think both of them could be league winners, top 10 running backs if the starter gets hurt?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Those are good guys to get. In between Manonge, who's RB 34, and Corum, who's RB 37, we have Kenny Gainwell and Rashad White. So we've got Manonge, Gainwell, White, Rashad White, and Corum from rounds 9 and then into 10. Dave, any strong thoughts on that group?
Give me the names one more time.
Sure. Manonge, Kenneth Gainwell.
Manonge, Gainwell.
Rashad White. And Blake Corum.
I've got White currently the highest of the four, with the idea that he's locked into at minimum the passing downs role in Washington. I know that Kroski Merritt is working on his receiving game and he's doing some good stuff with it, added some muscle. It sounds like he's having an okay camp, Kroski Merritt. But Rashad White was added for a reason. And it's not like he's got the same type of upside as Corum and Manonge. Like if you told me Kyren Williams and DeAndre Swift and Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt all decided to take a six-month tour of Europe, and now their backups are the starters. I'm pretty sure White would be at the bottom of that list. But because he's got a locked-in role where I don't have to worry about getting lucky with touches or anything like that from week to week, I'd rather have him in full PPR ahead of the other two guys.
What about
that? I'm not entirely sure that if everybody stays healthy, he has as many touches as the other two guys.
Which other two guys? I'm sorry, I'm a little lost.
What's that?
Which other two guys?
Manonge and Corum.
Okay.
But I would take Bill over all these guys.
Same.
Oh, you're a Bill guy.
Dave is too.
Dave is a Bill guy. All right.
I mean, within reason. Are we talking round 6 or round 8?
He has a round 10 ADP, so I think
we're good. I love that. I'm a Bill guy.
So what? All right, I got to take a break. When we come back, I want to know your expectations for the Commanders' backfield. And do you just think Bill is going to be a guy who, kind of like J.K. Dobbins, might get a lot of carries but almost no catches? Because we do have Rashad White there, obviously. All right, we'll break that down. Also, we haven't gotten to the Vikings backfield. We got to talk about Jonathan Brooks. All of that when we come back on Fantasy Football Today.
In business, there's no room for guesswork. Every shipment matters. Every deadline counts. When you're trying to keep operations running smoothly, the last thing you need is uncertainty. That's why reliability is at the core of USPS Ground Advantage. From the moment your package is first scanned in, it moves through a secure nationwide network, aiding in a timely and accurate delivery. You get near real-time tracking so you can keep up with your shipments. And with affordable upfront pricing, there are no hidden fees or surprise surcharges to throw off your cost sheets. It all adds up to predictable deliveries you can depend on. Because knowing your logistics are handled lets you focus on everything else, your customers, your team, and the future you're building. Visit usps.com/groundadvantage to start shipping with confidence. USPS Ground Advantage. We mean business.
This summer, my wife and I took my parents, our son, and our granddaughter on a trip to Montana. Coming from South Florida, it was such a change of pace. We spent our days exploring Glacier National Park, taking in the incredible mountain views, spotting wildlife, and doing some easy hikes to waterfalls and scenic overlooks. It was amazing being surrounded by mountains and cooler weather, something we just don't get at home. We also checked out some local restaurants, tried a few Montana favorites like Huckleberry desserts, and really enjoyed slowing down and spending quality time together. But while we were off exploring somewhere new, our home was just sitting empty. That's when I realized, while we're away, we could list our space on Airbnb. It feels like a smart and practical way to bring in some extra cash, especially when there is a high demand in our area for things like concerts, games, or festivals. It turns an empty house into an easy opportunity while you enjoy your own time off, and can even help offset some of the cost of your next trip. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, before we jump back into the show, let's take a quick break. But not just any break. This is a refreshing break with Snapple. We all know about Snapple's iconic real facts. So let's take a minute to go over some of my faves. Snapple Real Fact 1983. The first player drafted to play pro football never played in the league. Snapple Real Fact 1119. The Grand Canyon could hold about 900 trillion footballs. Snapple Real Fact 2064, the first college football game broadcast on TV was on September 30th, 1939. Snapple Real Fact 1896, the tradition of playing football on Thanksgiving originated with college football in 1876. So grab a Snapple, take a second, and enjoy the moment, because let's be honest, this might be the most refreshing part of your day. Snapple, make your break more interesting. All right, now let's get back to the show. Okay, we're back here, and I may have sounded like I thought Jonathan Brooks was on the Vikings with the way I promoted that. I was saying two separate thoughts. We got to talk about the Vikings and Jonathan Brooks. But I think a better question here, just to kind of lump everything in, is if you look at the Panthers, the Steelers, the Vikings, and the Commanders, do you have clarity in any of those situations right now on August 5th? Again, that's the Panthers, Steelers, Vikings, and Commanders backfields.
The most clarity I feel, because, like, listen, how much clarity do we have about anything? But the most clarity that I feel is that Bill is going to dominate early down touches and Rashad White is going to play most of the third downs.
I feel like you could replace Bill's name with Jordan Mason's and Rashad White's with Aaron Jones, and you could say the same thing about the Vikings. My worry is that the Vikings find another running back and make that an even bigger mess in Minnesota. And other than that, I agree with Heath on Washington, and I think there's something to it with Rico Dowdle, just knowing not just the report that we got, but the whole track record of him with Mike McCarthy. I think it's valid, and he's the one that I think will end up leading the Steelers in carries this year.
But by enough, what we really don't want is a small margin of Dowdle having maybe 30 to 40 more carries than Jalen Warren, but not having enough catch. You know, we don't want neither guy to matter, to be consistent. We want one guy to have consistency.
Take the job and run with it.
And I think Jordan Mason, I mean, it sounds like Jordan Mason is like a cheaper version of J.K. Dobbins, a lot cheaper. He's going 120th overall.
With a worse offensive line.
But from what I understood, he's the guy, and Aaron Jones is like the third down guy, maybe, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And a lower rushing average.
Well, Jordan Mason's had a great rushing average, though. I mean, he's been a very efficient rusher, and he was terrific with San Francisco. He didn't catch any passes. I think he has 26 catches in his career or something like that. But is that not Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt? I mean,
oh, I thought you said he was J.K. Dobbins.
No, they're all the same. I mean, if they're all going to be the first and second, I feel the most confidence in Dobbins. I'm sure we all do. I would think anyway. Are you taking Bill or Dobbins?
Bill.
Oh, really? I didn't know about all this Bill buzz. I really thought it was still a competition, and maybe Rashad White was going to be the best player. What am I missing here?
You've missed the start of camp, where Krosky Merritt's done some good things, expanded his game a little bit, paid attention to what the coach has asked him to do, and he's trying to do it. And Dobbins is the same story with him every year. He's an excellent running back. He's got to stay on the field. And now he's got competition for playing time, not only from Jonah Coleman, who's flashed in camp, but RJ Harvey has a role carved out. And let me tell you something. Dobbins is a touchdown-dependent fantasy running back. And if this team gets Taysom Hill, then yeah. I don't think I'm drafting any Denver running back.
I already said that. I completely agree. But look, Bill better score touchdowns too, because he's not going to be the passing downs guy.
Right, talking about taking a running back in the middle to late rounds, getting somebody that has some breakaway speed, seems to be getting better as a player, whose efficiency will rise playing next to Jaden Daniels, that's appealing. That's great value. I don't like that value in round six, and I'm okay with it like 7-8 turn, but that's not where he's going. I'm drafting him way ahead of consensus.
I love J.K. Dobbins, and he might be the most talented back that we're talking about right now, but I feel like we're just kind of glossing over or ignoring the fact that he's played 32 football games in eight seasons seasons.
You're right. And listen, go ahead.
No, I just think like we can argue about how real injury risk is, but like his is pretty obviously real.
It's a great point. Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, if he can, you know, really be the guy who really leads the team in carries, not by a small amount. This Washington team in two seasons with Jaden Daniels has produced the fifth most rushing touchdowns and the fifth most running back rushing touchdowns in the NFL. 18 running back rushing touchdowns in 2024, 15 in 2025. So, yeah, touchdown dependent, sure, but this offense produces rushing touchdowns. All right, so with Minnesota, we have Mason. I'm guessing you guys aren't really drafting a lot of Aaron Jones. He's actually going ahead of Mason.
Yeah, definitely not at that type of price.
Okay.
I've got Aaron Jones at round 11, and that feels a little too high.
So let's go a little bit lower than this. Real quick, give me a 10-second answer, Heath. What are your expectations for Kenny Gainwell in Tampa Bay?
I have him projected for about 10 touches per game. Probably catch 45 passes, 50 passes.
And what about Jonathan Brooks? I think you're a little excited about him now.
Everybody's excited about Jonathan Brooks. The projections you just throw out the window because he has to earn it first. But we are very hopeful that he just takes the job from Chuba Hubbard. And I've asked four different people on FFT Dynasty over the last month, what's the highest Jonathan Brooks could be ranked in the dynasty running back rankings if everything goes right, just to give you a feel of what everybody thinks the talent is. And the answer has been between top 12 and top 20 for all four of them. We just hope he takes the job and stays healthy. And if he does, then I think he's probably better than everybody we're talking about.
Yep. He's going 108th Jonathan Brooks. So that's the 9-10 turn. And
that's going to go up. It'll go up 10 spots.
If he stays healthy for the next 2 weeks.
Fair.
Yeah. Okay. Zach Charbonnet is RB 42, and I kind of feel like he's in his own world. Mm-hmm. We don't know what his status is. He hasn't been ruled out for week one. Obviously, Jadarian Price is there. But it just hypothetically, if Zach Charbonnet were playing in week one, where do you think his ADP would be right now? It's RB 42 in round 12-ish? 12. Dave?
RB 30, round 8.
My bad.
Yeah, I agree with that, round 8.
Round 8. And would you still take Price ahead of him?
No.
If he's healthy and ready to go, then probably not.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Because you figure he's going to be the goal line back.
And the third down back, so he'll lead that team, or at least that backfield. I can't say that team. He'll lead that backfield in targets, catches, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, and then because of the goal line, also rushing touchdowns. It turns Jadarian Price into a trap back.
And I don't think it's a zero chance that he's just the lead running back.
I do. I don't think he'll be the lead running back.
So I just want to bring up one thing, and I agree with what you guys are saying. He'll be the goal line back, but I think it's important just to note it for all of you. They've had the same head coach for 2 years, right? Am I crazy?
This is year three.
This is year, right. So in 2024, in the 11 games that Ken Walker played, he had 9 goal line carries and Zach Charbonnet had 4. Last year,
that's nice.
Last year, Charbonnet had 12 and Walker had 7. So
yep.
Just saying, it's basically even over the last years. But 1 year, they used Charbonnet as the goal line back. The year before that, they really didn't. But I think he probably would be. All right. Now we start to get to mostly handcuffs here. We've got Woody Marks as RB43, Tyrone Tracy Jr., Alvin Kamara, Chris Rodriguez, maybe not a handcuff. Isaiah Pacheco, Tyler Algier, maybe not a handcuff. Tajay Spears, Dave, these names again are Mr. Plow. Woody Marks, Tyrone Tracy, Alvin Kamara, Chris Rodriguez, Isaiah Pacheco, Tyler Algier. Thoughts?
Tracy's the one I like the best of the group, simply because if something were to happen to Cam Scataboo, we've already seen it. Tracy becomes a startable fantasy running back. We are talking late enough in the draft where you can go ahead and take chances on these guys, where you can just put them on your bench and see what happens for the first month. See what their roles are. That probably applies mostly to Rodriguez, maybe to Marks too, and I guess Kamara to a degree. I just don't think everybody is very confident in any of those guys, but certainly Kamara and Marks carving out a larger role than expected in the early going for their team.
I think I probably am the Woody Marks guy in terms of projections. I do think he's going to probably have a little, or I think he's going to have a little larger role than everyone else does. I've got him just ahead of Tyrone Tracy.
It's a great question here from the chat. How did you get Pacheco? In my league, the guy who drafted Gibbs took Pacheco 101. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's you just got to be. Hope you're not in the league with that lunatic. But what about
that's going to be a fun one to dig in at you all year long.
Yeah, yeah, I know. What about Algier and Chris Rodriguez? Do you think those guys could emerge as the main running backs for their teams?
Oh boy, go ahead, Heath.
I think it's more likely that Chris Rodriguez does because Liam Cohen gets irritated at Bashel Tootin over something and goes with the guy he trusts. I think it's more likely, and I'm not saying this will happen, but if Algier has a week or two where he's the lead running back, it's week one and two where they're just like doing the dumb thing where we make the rookie earn it. And we see a little bit more of Tyler Algier early in the season. He's not going to take the job from Jeremiah Love, though.
What role do you think Algier has in this offense?
Great question.
Open question. Either of you can answer.
I think by like the fifth game of the year, he probably has seven touches or something like that a week. It's my guess.
Do you think they put him in goal line situations just because he's a hammer?
It could. Yeah, he's got that history.
Yeah, I've got him at 7.5 touches per game for the season. So,
how do you feel about having a running back who's projected for 7.5 touches per game, who might be the goal line back on a team that's projected to win 4.5 games and figures to be trailing a lot?
Yeah, I think we can move on.
I've never drafted Tyler Algier this year.
But Rodriguez, I would say one thing for Rodriguez is, Tootin did come into the NFL with a fumble problem. And Liam Cohen's talked about how he's sort of put that past him and he's thinking about other things, but that still exists in his history. And that's one of the easiest ways to lose your job. So,
did he have two fumbles in the same game last year?
Don't remember.
Thought he had a fumble on a carry and a fumble on a kickoff, and he got hurt on the kickoff. Maybe I made that up.
I don't doubt your...
Braylon Allen had a fumble on a carry, and then he got hurt on a kickoff and tore his ACL. There's that.
Yeah. I'm looking right now.
All right, we can finish up here, guys. We got Tyjae Spears as RB 49, Brian Robinson Jr. 50, Tank Bigsby, Keaton Mitchell, Jonah Coleman for Denver. Keaton Mitchell's on the Chargers now, by the way. Dylan Sampson, Braylon Allen, James Conner, Kamani Vidal, Emmanuel Wilson, Emmett Johnson. Heath, who are some of the late round handcuffs that you like to target?
So one of my favorite targets right now, because he's almost free, is Mike Washington. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago. I think he'll be the clear backup to Ashton Jeanty, and he has big, big play potential. And maybe we see him just a little bit more than we think we're going to. I also like Dylan Sampson quite a bit because I think he's a very good rusher. He has passing game chops, and Judkins is coming off of that injury. And then I think Pacheco's probably next.
Okay. Dave, any
final thoughts? That wasn't
a joke. Oh, yeah. Any final thoughts, Dave?
Jonah Coleman is one that I've obviously talked about a lot. That goes away if Taysom Hill goes to the Mile High City. Kalen Black in San Francisco. I know he just got hurt in practice, just like everybody else on the 49ers. So I might pivot back to Jordan James, who's out with a fractured rib. Ray Davis has been one of my favorite guys to draft just because James Cook, huge workload last year. And we've seen Davis do well when he's had the opportunity to be the feature back. And one of the guys I'm drafting with my last pick in a bunch of leagues for now is James Conner. Just on the chance that the Cardinals move him, he could be a guy that I take with my last pick and cut before week one if he's still on the Cardinals by then.
That's a good idea.
Thanks.
So, yeah, it's a great idea. Guys, we did it. 2.5 episodes. That's all we needed for running backs.
Longest running back preview in FFT history.
Yeah. Heath, what do you think we're going to do for wide receivers?
Hopefully better.
I've got Tootin with two fumbles, one lost. Same game.
Don't
Heath,
say
your
better.
Memory is razor
stuff.
Sharp.
Great Thank stuff. You. Yeah, people are. Yeah, I'm wearing a collared shirt today. Deal with it. I get dressed up sometimes. Listen,
To go out in public, right?
To go out in public, yeah.
Yeah, because the show that thousands of people watch is not public.
It's almost weird if I wear a collared shirt on the show. We got to be cash. We got to be super cash on the show. No, Eric, in our chat, this is not a 35-minute episode. This is only part one of the episode. We're going to do rankings, risers, and fallers now. But first, let's take a little time out here to talk about the FFT Open. And just the draft-a-thon in general. All right, this is our basically month-long drive to raise money for St. Jude. Our goal is $200,000. We are currently at $68,601 for St. Jude. Awesome stuff here. Now, you can be in a fantasy league with Ryan Heath, who's been on our show, from Fantasy Points. You can be in a league with Rich Rebar, who's been on our show. And he's a phenomenal analyst. All these guys are. Pat Doherty, a Roto Pat. One of the best in the business, okay? You can be NFL writer for NBC Sports, so you can be in a league with him. And there are many others. I'm not going to name everyone, but go to tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026 and get in the FFT Open. tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. But also, buy a mailbag question to be read on our Friday mailbag shows. And get spots in our mock drafts. These are the types of things you'll see at tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. Okay, let's do some news and notes here. Atlanta, I think we for fantasy purposes, we like bad defenses. Well, unfortunately,
this one just got worse.
Yeah, Jalen Walker, their second year edge rusher. I don't know if they've confirmed it yet, but suspected. They did? Okay.
Yeah.
Towards ACL. That stinks. And their other second-year edge rusher has got a potential suspension looming, but we don't know about that. Meanwhile, Ian Rappaport thinks Tua Tagovailoa is likely to be their week one starter, which makes sense because Michael Penix Jr. is not even back yet. Kyle Manongai did practice. That's good. It was in individual drills. Kenyon Sadiq had a setback with his recovery from hernia surgery, but Aaron Glenn is confident he'll be ready for week one. That's Jets rookie tight end Kenyon Sadiq. Big contract for Zay Flowers, 4 years and $140 million as an extension with $108 million guaranteed for Flowers. Meanwhile, wow. Rookie wide receiver Jacoby Lane has had a good camp, according to ESPN's Jameson Hensley. Tampa Bay wide receiver Tez Johnson has a groin injury. Dave, what are you hearing or seeing about the Dolphins wide receivers?
Malik Washington's had a great training camp, so he built off of what he did in minicamp. Bobby Slowick talked to the media yesterday and said that Washington that he and Willis are on the same page, and that connection has just grown and developed, and they're trying to get other receivers on the same page with Willis as Malik Washington has been. Last year, he was very much a short area target for Miami. So like screen slants, all the layup stuff that we talk about, Adam, he's going to be able to do those things and contribute that way to the Dolphins, but he's got good speed too. So I wonder if they try and find ways to get him involved in the intermediate area. Not a big guy, but someone who could end up, we talk about Dulcich leading the team in targets. Don't be surprised if it's Malik Washington leading Miami in targets and being a decent fantasy receiver who averages, I don't know, I mean, we're talking a late round guy, so 10, 11 PPR points per game, someone who absolutely should be on a fantasy roster.
Sure.
I think I'd rather draft him than Wandale Robinson.
Whoa.
Not me. I'm still team Wandale all the way, but is it out of line to say that he could be Miami's version of Wandale Robinson? And the answer is no.
Yeah. Omar Kelly I think he's in the Sun Sentinel. He said that Caleb Douglas is the most talented wide receiver on the team. Also, you mentioned Greg Dulcich. Dulcich is injured right now. Should be back next week.
Right. So I wonder if Douglas does take that step forward. He's interesting. Certainly in training camp, he has compared to where he was in minicamp. He's probably going to be more of that perimeter type receiver for Miami, whereas Washington will work inside the numbers.
If you're in a tight end premium dynasty league or something, Zach Ertz has been cleared for football activity. He tore his ACL last year, doesn't currently have a team. Detroit signed a running back, Raheem Blackshear, probably a special teams thing. I put in my notes that Parker Washington is going to the Hall of Fame. Every time I open Twitter, there's a Parker Washington story. But honestly, it's everyone in Jacksonville. I mean, it's Brian Thomas Jr. It's Chris Rodriguez, his first day back. He's looking great. It's Basil Tootin. It's just everyone. So I'm kind of over it, to be quite honest. Although I think Parker Washington has had the most steady drumbeat buzz. But
he had a bad day, according to reports. I think it was yesterday.
Finally.
Yeah. Finally, somebody stinks.
Chicago safety Kobe Bryant out 8 to 10 weeks with a knee injury. I don't think, if I repeat, this is a repeat from yesterday. Let me know. I don't think I got to this yesterday. ESPN's Benjamin Solak said that Colson Loveland is the son of the Bears' solar system of receivers. I like that.
I've heard something similar.
Devontae
Smith. Not quite as well put as Ben did put it, but obviously something similar.
Mekhi Lemon and Devontae Smith both have hamstring injuries, but nothing serious. I know Michael Wilson missed Monday's practice. Mike Evans has a very minor quad strain. I didn't even know about Kalen Black's injury. They're all injured. Washington's still interested in Stephon Diggs, according to ESPN. A couple of Chiefs wide receivers have minor injuries, Cyrus Allen and Xavier Worthy. Same with Cleveland rookie Casey Concepcion. And
yeah, he got lit up in practice and walked off with his arm like this, holding his arm. It looked like a bad shoulder injury. That makes me nervous because he's one of my favorite guys to get in the late rounds too.
And A.J. Brown dislocated his thumb, but he's fine.
He's fine.
Frank in the chat says, Colson Loveland. Colson Loveland. Yeah, I like it. Maddie says, Adam was the little boy on the commercial that hugged the bear for Snuggle Bear Softener.
I thought you were in the bear costume.
Oh, yeah. Good call. Heath, you good?
Yeah.
There he is. All right, we'll take a break and do some rankings, risers, and fallers when we come back.
Support for today's show comes from Square, the platform behind so many of the local businesses we all love. Whenever I go to my favorite sports bar, I'm enjoying the energy, I'm enjoying the game, and it moves lightning fast because I use Square. I just tap my phone, grab my wings, and even earn loyalty points without missing a single play. It's just so seamlessly put together. But Square is way more than just a slick register. It's an all-in-one system that lets business owners take payments, manage inventory, handle staff payroll, and track sales from one easy dashboard. Whether you run a bustling sports bar, a bike shop, or a boutique, Square simplifies the daily grind without requiring an IT team or hidden fees. Plus, sellers using Square checking save an average of 44 hours a month thanks to instant payouts. If you're starting a business or running one that deserves better tools, Square helps you sell, manage, and grow without slowing down. Right now, you can get up to $200 off Square hardware at square.com/go/FFT. That's SQUARE.com/GO/FFT. Run your business smarter with Square. Get started today.
You know, as I've gotten older and gotten married and had kids, I've started to realize what's really important in life. And I think we all know what that is. And I want to add that life insurance is also very important. I remember the conversations I had with my wife where we said, we need life insurance. We need to protect our future. So we got life insurance and we just feel more secure now. It's one less thing to worry about. Now, let me tell you about Ethos. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage, and some policies are as low as $30 a month. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/FFT. That's ethos.com/FFT. Application times may vary. Rates may vary. Let's do it. Rankings, risers, and fallers, all subject to change. We're going to update this every week. But Malik Nabers is one of the headliners here, Dave. And you know, you said you were willing to take him in round two. Are you still willing to take Malik Nabers in round two?
Definitely. But it's late round two. We're not going to go crazy with it. But the mere fact that he's practicing in full, starting to do team drills with the Giants, looks like his old self, ahead of schedule based on what John Harbaugh was saying during the offseason. These are all really good signs. And if he's his old self, or even 90% of his old self, then he's going to get target volume. We've seen number one receivers in Matt Nagy's offenses get good target volume before. He can end up being a receiver worthy of a first-round pick, which is where we were drafting him last year. So getting him in late round two, it doesn't feel like we're drafting him too close to his ceiling. And the fact that he seems to just be making progress day by day, not on the PUP list, I think he's going to be ready for week one. I think he's going to end up being pretty good this year.
Where do you have him, Heath? Neighbors.
Late round or mid round three. Not quite as crazy as Dave, but I have definitely moved him up. I'd like to see a little more. I did see not every Malik Nabers training camp video has looked just like Malik Nabers. I think he's got a little ways to go still. And there was also a report that said that there's no guarantee at this point he's going to be a full go for week one. So I'm gonna hold off just a little bit because I don't think the situation is exactly the same as it was the year that he was so incredible, his rookie season. I think we'll see a lot more running from the Giants this year.
And that I tend to agree with.
I'm looking at NFC ADP, the more high stakes leagues, from just August 1st to August 5th.
And Malik, how many Nabers, leagues?
22.
Okay. All right. That's a decent sample.
And this is the problem I have with taking Malik Nabers at the end of the second round. He's going in between George Pickens and Nico Collins and before Rashee Rice. So you really have to take him over players that have been great, you know, very recently. So it's a tough call. Like, you know what I mean? I'd understand if you were going in between Devontae Smith and Jeremiah Love or something like that, but Nico Collins, George Pickens. Anyway, can I ask you guys about Rashee Rice? Because I think I'm going to forget. Because the video of him at training camp that I saw a few days ago was not good. He looked pretty slow.
The post route that everybody, the post route scene around the world.
Yeah, yeah. And he's recovering from a knee injury. So are we?
Yeah. What's he known for? Heath, what is Rashee Rice known for, his deep downfield routes?
Yeah, I think he was just gassed once he ran 5 yards. He doesn't run.
Not used to it. Not used to it. And he's not going to have to do that. So I wouldn't freak out.
But I'm putting it on my radar. If he's not looking great this camp, I think that we can't just ignore the knee.
I think today was his first day being cleared for 11 on 11.
Yep. Mahomes also participating without issue. That's been the case all along, just like Nabers. If there's a thing to worry about with Rice, it's Kenneth Walker being awesome. Cyrus Allen, I know he's banged up, same thing with Worthy, but those guys carving out roles in the offense. They've got a whole bunch of options now, and they don't have to hammer the X button to Rashee Rice anymore.
I hope that I come to regret this, but I am so not buying the Cyrus Allen stuff.
Oh, I'm not. I don't want him for fantasy unless it's like last round pick type thing.
I think best case scenario, he's the wide receiver 4.
Right. Oh yeah, but they definitely can get the things that they wanted out of Worthy this year, provided that, you know, he's healthy. Thornton's got his role. They've got speed for days now. Allen can at least contribute. He might run 20 routes a game. The point is that it's just like I said, they've got options. They've got different ways to go with the football now that they didn't have last year. And I think it's going to make them a more explosive offense and a more diverse offense. And that means that there isn't going to be this huge target volume for Rashee Rice.
Well, listen.
Potentially.
If Rashee Rice continues to be the player he's been since the last 6 games of his rookie season, then even if he's going 24th overall, he's one of the best values in fantasy. I mean, right. He has performed like he should be going more like 12th overall. So,
But it's a very different situation for him. Yeah,
I don't.
They have a running game now.
That doesn't matter. They've been the 19th. Last year they were the 19th best offense. So if they have a running game, it could just mean they have a better offense. I shouldn't say that doesn't matter. It might not matter. They might just be better. They might just finally be a better offense.
All those short targets that he had were extensions of the run game because they couldn't run the ball.
But he's their best receiver.
He in what way?
I mean, he's better than Kelce.
Every way. Like, they don't have any other good receivers.
Okay.
If they had another good receiver, then he might not be, because he is very limited and kind of gimmicky. But all the rest of them are also bad at other things.
Yes.
I think it's possible that Xavier Worthy, that we don't know yet because of the shoulder injury he suffered in week one, that maybe he's a better receiver than we know.
Right. And we're not racing to draft him either. If you're getting him at a good value to be on your bench, a guy that you wait and see what happens with, I mean, he's in the right offense to pop off. It's just a matter of, will he?
Is he? That's what I'm saying. The Chiefs haven't been that offense in 3 years.
I still think they could be.
Now, getting a run
especially
game
now that the run game's there and it forces defenses to change the way that they're going to play. Like, a lot of this definitely changed when they signed Walker. And who knows how long Walker will be healthy for. It is not a guarantee of there are no guarantees in football, and certainly no guarantees on who the best guys in this offense will be, other than Mahomes getting his, provided that he's healthy. Mm-hmm. That makes me nervous to take Rice in the top 20.
I feel like Heath's going to kill me today, by the way. Just, you know.
No, Heath looks like that every
show. He doesn't like when I talk about the Chiefs offense like that.
But no. It's 100% right. You've got your bold prediction that's about 8 months old now that has about 4 or 5 months where we find out if it's true. And it may be true. There's not – listen, I think when it's been decades – since your team has won a playoff game.
Nope.
Then they win a playoff game.
Yeah, they did.
Then those things can be a little bothersome to you, but like the Chiefs could have 5 years where they're just awful and I wouldn't care.
You know what we say in times like this, Heath, when we know we don't have much of an argument, people like me, we say Knicks in five. And that's
Knicks in five.
We just say Knicks in five. Basil Tootin is also one of Dave's risers. And so is Jonathan Brooks. I think we just talked about Brooks. Why is Tootin at risk of becoming a faller again now that Chris Rodriguez is back?
I suppose it's possible. Everybody in Jacksonville is getting glowing practice reports, and so I'm waiting for the 7 straight days of Chris Rodriguez looking like a bulldozer. What did they say about him before? Like, he's a glass eater. That's fun. We'll see how it goes. But if Tootin continues to be the first guy up in drills and continues to impress all the beat reporters out there, that matters to me. And I think that Tootin is starting to cross that line from high-end number 3 running back who might have a shot to low-end 2 running back that we actually can trust to start the season.
And Jalen Coker and Chig Okonkwo are your last 2 risers for now. Jalen Coker, where is he in your rankings?
Coker is still in those late rounds. If you need an exact spot, I will look him up. Control F this MF-er. There he is, 115. So a round 10 pick for Coker. And Okonkwo is in that same exact range, just somebody who's got some upside that you're drafting with a late round pick to be your streaming tight end to begin the year. If he assumes the Zach Ertz role with the efficiency we've seen from him earlier in his career, he's going to return really good value.
So just looking at Jalen Coker's average draft position on NFC since August 1st, it's 118th. But what's interesting, the 2 guys around him are George Kittle and Isaiah Likely. So if I could tell you that you can go into your draft getting Kittle or Likely in round 10, how much would that influence your draft strategy? It would influence mine quite a bit.
Yeah, I'd want those guys.
Yeah.
One of them.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm taking Likely ahead of that anyway.
Heath, let's talk about the Patriots backfield a little bit here, because Ramondre is a riser and Travion a faller for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just more reports that nothing has changed and Travion is still struggling with the same stuff and Ramondre is still the lead running back. And I think I had these guys originally about 10 spots apart in my running back rankings, right around RB 22 or 23 and 32 or 33. I actually have Ramondre higher in the projections now, still rank Travion higher because I think he has more upside, but Travion's fallen to RB 24 in round 6. Ramondre for me is right there at the 6-7 turn at RB 27.
Obviously, things aren't going to play out the same, but for what it's worth, in weeks 1 through 8, 12, 13, 15 through 18, and the playoffs, those are the games where both running backs played. Ramondre Stevenson had 188 carries and 44 catches. Travion Henderson had 163 carries, so that is 25 fewer. And 30 catches, 14 fewer. So that is, 39 more touches last year in the games they both played for Ramondre Stevenson. And from the 3-yard line or closer, Ramondre had 8 carries and Travion had 2. And they both averaged 4.4 yards per carry, by the way, which is cool. Josh Downs is a riser, Heath.
Yeah, it sounds like he's been awesome. They are talking more and more about using him in 2 wide receiver sets. They are using him downfield more. Alec Pierce is not there. And I think Dave probably had him as a faller we'll talk about that in a minute, but maybe I'll just say what Dave's going to say. But I think that really matters for him, to me, more than it would for another wide receiver, because he is allegedly going to do something new this year. He's going to do something besides run straight down the field and catch 40-yard bombs. And he's not getting an opportunity to practice that with his quarterback. And so I worry about the timing. I worry about his ability to actually do that. And Downs, I project to be the leading target earner for the Colts if it's not Tyler Warren.
Dave, your thoughts on the Colts receivers?
I mean, we're drafting it like it's going to be Warren, and I wouldn't be surprised by it at all. And we know the bare minimum of Josh Downs' role as a slot receiver who can work inside, outside, kind of fits that mold that we've talked about for other wide receivers who have taken a step forward over the last few years and still could. So I like that. Poor Alec Pierce with this injury, of course it's going to be a problem if he's not participating in training camp soon enough. And that just means that the first part of his season, he's going to be rounding into game shape, getting on the same page again with Daniel Jones, getting that timing and rhythm down. And can he do the things that a number one receiver is supposed to do? Remember, he's getting paid like a number one receiver. So I don't know if I'm excited about Pierce anymore. His ADP will fall. The longer he's on this pup list, his ADP will fall. And it might get to a point where I am going to take him. And if I've got an IR spot, I'll put him in there if he starts the season on the pup list. But even if he doesn't, it wouldn't surprise me if Pierce ends up being good in the second half of 26, just as he was good in the second half of 25, because the injury slows him down to begin the season.
Why is David Montgomery a faller?
Montgomery's a faller just because of what I would talked about, and that was during the running back preview a day or two ago. The offensive line not being great, all the talk about Woody Marks. Heath talked about how he likes Woody Marks and the role could be a little bit bigger for him. If he's going to do what Joe Mixon did two seasons ago, Woody Marks needs to not be a factor. The offensive line needs to be strong. And I don't know if those two things are necessarily going to happen. So I don't want to draft Montgomery too close to the ceiling. And I think round four is the ceiling. Round five might still be a little too close for my taste.
Are you guys taking Bajal Tuten or David Montgomery?
Oh, man, I knew you were going to ask that, and I've gone back and forth between them. I have Tuten one spot higher.
Tuten.
Montgomery 29th for you, Heath. You're the low guy on him and the high guy on Marks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what other running backs do you have ahead of Montgomery, Heath?
Jadarian Price.
Okay. Wow.
And Jalen Warren. Yeah, Ramondre Warren.
Ramondre?
Okay.
I wrote about this, and Montgomery was on my do not draft list that I think's been published. Otherwise, I'm just giving something away. But at his round five ADP, and I acknowledge that there's a chance that he scores 12 touchdowns and makes this look dumb. I don't think there's really another path to him making that look dumb. I think Woody Marks is going to have the passing downs. And if they can't block up the inside stuff, then maybe we get more of the outside stuff. And I think that's Woody Marks.
I guess I'm just trying not to care too much about the pass catching stuff because, again, there just aren't that many running backs that play all three downs anymore. So none of the guys going in that range are three down backs. I mean, Tuten certainly isn't going to play. We know that's the Quinn Allen's role. Now, 2-minute drill, 4-minute drill, that could be a factor. And I don't know who's going to be that guy, but I just feel like, look, obviously they're going to talk up Woody Marks, right? It's like he's a second year guy on the team. They're not going to just kill the guy and bury him. Montgomery, they traded for Montgomery for a reason. He's going to be their lead back. They usually have a average offense, not a great one, not a bad one. What's that?
No one's denying that. It's just how effective of a lead back will he be?
Okay.
10 touchdowns or
how big of a lead does he have?
How big of a lead?
Oh, I think he's got a pretty sizable one. This coaching staff, yeah, of course they're not going to poo-poo Woody Marks, but their actions spoke volumes last year. So unless Woody Marks has taken some real big steps, I don't think he's touching goal line or short yardage, especially when they have David Montgomery on the team.
Here's a stat for you. Here's a question for you. Do you think David Montgomery will have 18 touches a game?
No.
I'm going to take the under.
Okay. Well, then never mind. But if you do think so, over the last three seasons, 36 running backs have averaged 18 or more touches per game with a minimum of 8 games played. Only 3 of the 36 were worse than 20th per game in PPR. So if you think David Montgomery is getting 18 touches a game, most likely he's going to be a top 20 running back. But these guys do not think it, and that seems a little aggressive, I guess. All right, anyone else? Yes, Jacoby Myers, I think, was a faller. Dave, I think you've had him as a faller, Jacoby Myers.
Sure, because there's just been so much excitement about Washington and Brian Thomas Jr. and even Travis Hunter that Myers is starting to kind of get overlooked a little bit. And I think there's a role for him in fantasy. He's another one of these guys that might just belong on a bench and be 11 PPR points per game. Or maybe in a deeper league, he's going to be in your starting lineup. Those three receiver leagues, you can make the case for Jacoby there. But I wonder if BTJ has his head on straight and he knows what he's doing, he's going to get targets. If Washington has emerged as a go-to guy for Trevor Lawrence, he's going to get his targets. I don't know what's left for Jacoby.
Do not draft this for me.
Feel like this is what Jacoby does. He's not doing anything exciting. Nobody has any reason to say anything exciting about him. And he's going to go catch 70 passes for 800 yards and probably score 5 touchdowns. And I'm not excited to draft him. I'm not trying to make the case for him.
What's the upside?
I don't think there is much, but I think the upside is downside for everyone around him because he's still getting 6 targets a game.
Yeah. But you know, he's going, right, just before Chris Godwin, before Quentin Johnston, just after Wandale Robinson, Mekhi Lemon, and Michael Pittman.
I'd rather draft him than Wandale. I think I have him ahead of Godwin, but I'd rather draft him than Pittman. But I think he and Pittman are just so similar.
They're close.
Yeah, just guys.
I've got Pittman a step ahead.
Oh, it's interesting. I think Pittman, I don't like Pittman on the Steelers, but if they were both the number one receiver for a good team, I would like Pittman better than Myers. All right. Anyway, let's read an email to finish the show. This is a fun one. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com is our email address. And it's from Michael. And he says, "Dear Jalen, Jackson, Aaron, and every good player on the Knicks, Giants, Yankees. He knows how to get my attention. Very good, Michael. All right. I made this request last year and the league loved it, so I'm trying again. Below are the names of each of my league members. Pick our draft order." Okay.
Oh, I'd love to do this. Make a nice charitable donation to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital for FFT today and our draft-a-thon, and we're on it. Doesn't have to be a ton.
Yeah, actually, I love this. There's 12 guys in the league. I think you owe it. I think we've earned it. Between the 12 of you, you know, $10 each to St. Jude.
I don't think it needs to necessarily be that much.
$10 each?
Let's put a $10 each? Yeah. That's $120 for St. Jude. I would not turn my nose up at that. I'll do a private video doing the draft order for $120. Let's cut it in half. Wow. $60.
$10
And if any league wants it, email me.
At that point, we might as well just do it now on the show like Adam planned on.
Yeah, we are doing it on the show. They're gonna be true to their word that we're putting in their own mouth.
They're not giving their word. Yeah, we're just talking.
We're giving it for them. They are going to make a donation. All right. So I'm gonna read the team name, and you tell me what pick in the draft they should have. We'll alternate. Heath, you can go first. Slimfinity Stones.
6.
Dave, the Hit Squad.
We have to keep track of which numbers have been taken.
Yeah, I gotcha. 6 is off the board.
That's on us to do.
I gotcha. Hit Squad.
1.
Playbook Princess.
Why'd you put Hit Squad 1? It was such a bad pick.
Too bad.
3.
Dave, the Vamps.
12.
Heath, XG for the win.
11.
Dave, Femme Fatale.
14.
No, it's a 12-team league.
I said 14.
I'm going to put 4.
Fine.
4 for Femme Fatale. Heath, CMC 101. This is the defending champ.
10.
Okay. Dave, the Jiggy franchise.
9. Terrible name.
Heath, Draft Hustle.
8.
Dave, Coffee
Three
Bandit.
3 spots left.
Coffee Bandit.
Who's still listening to this? Seven.
Snyder finally gone.
We should do this every show. Three.
No, we already used three.
No, we already did three.
Okay. Two, so what's left?
And two and five are left.
Two and five.
This is
I'm going to go two.
All right. Two. That means
Streaming Willie Beeman is pick five. All right. Thank you, guys. Great content.
Yeah. Listen, if other league, you know what? How about this? If you're a league that wants this done on FFT, $100, St. Jude, next one, next league that does it gets it. If you want it done off of FFT, $60 is the price.
I want to thank that league for helping us avoid the travesty of doing a show in less than an hour.
All right, RB preview part four tomorrow. Now, wide receiver preview part one of four. Now, of two. Tomorrow, we'll talk to you then on Fantasy Football Today. See all CBS Sports Network tomorrow also. See ya.
Paramount Podcasts. What is Toyota affordability? It all starts with buying smart. And your Toyota dealer has great deals available to qualified customers on reliable cars and SUVs, including the redesigned RAV4, spacious Grand Highlander, sporty Camrys, and Corollas. It means driving for less with efficient hybrid and plug-in hybrid options available throughout the lineup, extending your overall driving range and delivering great MPGs, saving you money at the pump. And it means trading for more. Toyota is known for building long-lasting vehicles. And as the best resale value brand, according to Kelley Blue Book, your Toyota can be worth thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicle's projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Books, KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.